Good morning. Our scripture for today comes from Psalm 70. It is entitled, "To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David, to bring to remembrance." These five verses in Psalm 70 are also found in Psalm 40, almost verbatim. And one wonders why. We don't really know why. We're not told why. Except we are told this is a psalm of remembrance. And it's a prayer for relief from adversaries. Now we know that how we fight our adversary or adversaries as New Testament Christians is not quite the same as how Old Testament Christians understood. In the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. But Jesus changed that when he came. And when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, he gave us instruction on how we are to be his followers in this sometimes very adversarial world. And we also know from other places in Scripture that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but princes and principalities of the air. What does that mean? It means that there's forces of good and forces of evil. And many times we see that in attitudes and in what people choose to value in situations. And we've been instructed by Jesus what to value. Let me read this passage just to get us started. It's a prayer. "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, 'Aha, aha.' Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, 'Let God be magnified.' But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." I think why this is a song of remembrance, a psalm, a prayer, and why it's repeating what's been already said in Psalm 40, is because the writer wants to emphasize how God is our help and how often in life we feel pinched for time. We feel like we are in situations where there's just not enough time to get things arranged the way they need to be arranged. And so we say, "Hurry up, Lord. I need help. I don't have time. Time has run out. And it seems like you're far away. And I'm about to be ashamed and confounded." So confound and ashamed the forces that are trying to make me that way. The ones that are saying, "Aha, aha, you know, gotcha. I need you to be my deliverer." Great thing about the Lord is we can pour our heart out to God just the way it is. You don't need to make sure all your theology is correct. I almost guarantee you that it's not. In fact, what I love about God is we can come to Him imperfect as we are and be ourselves. You ever have a friend where you talk to them and pour your heart out and they correct your English and your grammar as you talk? No, a friend overlooks that when they're listening to you. A true friend is going to listen to your heart. And the Lord, He'll hear your heart. You might not get exactly what you're looking for, but God is a safe place for you to pour your heart out to. And we've all been in those times where We're between a rock and a hard place. This is known as what one of those prayers, they're called imprecatory prayers, where the psalmist is actually praying for God to intervene and cause the destruction of his enemies. But I want to drop down to verse 4, and then I want to address that very thought of the prayer for destruction for our enemies. Verse 4 says, "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified." So here's the question. Right here is just this key question that comes up for me out of verse 4. And that question is this: how do we, as followers of Jesus Christ, magnify God? Let God be magnified. What does it mean to want to have God be magnified? I mean, God's big, bigger than we can imagine. God's the biggest person, the biggest thing, biggest ever. So how can we magnify God? Well, what the psalmist is saying is, in your situation, help your perception and the perception of others to be aware that God is there and God is with you. Magnify it. Sow those seeds. There's a verse that says, "Now he," meaning God, "who provides seed to the sower and bread for food, shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing." Isn't that wonderful? The Lord supplies and multiplies your seed for sowing. That's 2 Corinthians 9:10. As we seek to magnify the Lord gives us seed to sow. So what is the seed to sow when we're facing somebody or someone that could be viewed as an enemy? Enemy being defined as simply as somebody who doesn't want your best interest and isn't rooting for an outcome that supports your best interests. Maybe they're even indifferent towards you. Well, Jesus does not ask us to say imprecatory prayers. In fact, here's what he says in Matthew 5, 44 to 45. He says, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father. Your Father in heaven, who sends sun to rise on evil and good, and rain to the just and the unjust." So as we bless those who curse us, and we do good to those who hate us, and we pray for those who despitefully use us, we are magnifying the Lord. And as we magnify the Lord, he's giving us seed to do that. You know, when you pray for somebody, you are communing with God about that person. And it's quite likely that the Lord will show you how to bless that person. Seems like I have a lot of illustrations for what I'm trying to say that come out of my junior high and high school years. The guy that wrote that book, Everything You Needed to Know You Learned in Kindergarten, well, I learned a lot in kindergarten, but it seems like I learned a lot all throughout my growing up years. So I have this story of, true story of when I was in ninth grade and I was doing a kind of a off-campus project where I got to go and work with a business for a couple hours to see what that was like. And there was a printing company ran by three Mennonite brothers, and they did all the printing for their church and several churches, and they had these big printing presses, and they would have to use, they'd have to set up typesetting, and they had different styles of typesetting, and it was quite a process. And I would help out, and one day I started a project and I got a little help to do it, to do a typesetting for one of my favorite scriptures, Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? So after I got it all set up and everything, one of the brothers helped me run it on the printing press. And I made several little cardboard squares with that scripture printed on it. And I thought they were really cool. I thought I would like hand them out to different people and friends. And so I'm walking back to the school. And there's this bully who's never been a bully to me. In fact, I never saw him bully anybody, but everybody was afraid of him. He was super strong and he kind of had a reputation of being a hood. And he had a gang that would follow him along. Now the gang, I knew they did bad stuff, but I never saw him do anything. I'll just call him Dan. We'll say his name was Dan. And as we're walking, he comes up alongside me and we start talking, and he's kind of humble in his countenance, and he smiles, and I immediately liked him. And I shared with him where I'd been, what I'd done, and I showed him one of these little cardboard squares with this scripture. And I read it to him, and he seemed to like it, so I just gave it to him. And in that walk, we became friends. You know what was happening there? This is a kind of maybe a corny illustration. But I was sowing seed that the Lord had given me. The Lord gave me those little squares. He gave me something good to bless this guy with. And the guy liked it. I don't know what his spiritual journey had been up to that point. Maybe he had a mother that used to read scripture to him. But we talked about that verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? And I told him the verse that came back on after that. The Lord is the strength of my life. He didn't respond much, but he seemed to like it. And when we got to the school, I went my way and he went his way. Not sure why he was walking to the school so late in the day. Could be he was just arriving. He didn't go by the rules. But about a month later, I was walking around the school, and the gang that would follow him around, they came around the corner. It was upstairs, just me and them. And they kind of all surrounded me. And of course, I'm in ninth grade, and I'm thinking, what are they going to do? And so I said a quick prayer, desperate prayer, Lord, help, kind of like Psalm 70. And just then, Dan walked around the corner, and he ordered them to leave me alone. Boy, what a welcome relief that was. But you know, had I not sown that seed when I had that chance earlier, a couple months earlier, I'm not sure what the outcome would have been. I thank God for the word, because it's not weak. It's not namby-pamby, as some people would say. No, it's the strongest force there is when we follow the words of Jesus, when we bless those that curse us, when we choose love and we choose to want good for others. It has exponential effects in life. It may come back to bless you directly or indirectly. It may be directly tied to the situation you're in, or it may not be. But it's as reliable of a law, a spiritual law, as gravity, because it came from the Creator. You say, though, that came from Jesus. No, Jesus was the Creator. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And how did God create? Through the Word. He spoke things into existence. Jesus is the Word. The words of Jesus are powerful. I want to encourage you in the coming weeks, as we head towards Easter, to read the Sermon on the Mount, and to even have a highlighter and highlight verses as you go that speak to you and touch your heart. and meditate on them. Meanwhile, let's just know that Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to undo it. And so when he came and he said, here's how I tell you to be, don't pray evil things on people. Pray for God's goodness and his love, and that God will show each person his light. God bless you all. Look forward to this journey together as we head towards Easter.